Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Premier Chelsea, your source for all things Premier League, but starting with Chelsea first. Coming to your speakers and headsets, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm one of your hosts, Jackie, and I'm here with my very, very good friend and co-host, Rahul. Rahul, how have you been, my friend?
I've been good, man. It's been a while. We keep doing one, and then we end up having a little break, which is not because we don't want to be doing this. It's just life gets in the way sometimes.
Life has been inconsistent, just like Chelsea has, my friend. We always have ups and downs in life, and Chelsea has ups and downs. And we can go back and talk about some of the past stuff, but we have had a bit of a rocky few weeks here and there. But listen, the most recent result is something that you and I maybe deferred on, maybe didn't see eye to eye on. I was a little bit surprised that we stepped up to the plate, but maybe a bit of more positivity this week. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, a win definitely brings some positivity, but as always, we will analyze, we will break down, and we'll discuss how we are still conceding two times at home, but at least we're scoring thrice, so I guess there is some positives there.
You got to find the silver lining, my friend, and in this case, we were playing Newcastle, and Rahul, to be honest, when the game was drawn up, you and I were chit-chatting, we put up prediction posts on Instagram. And I predicted Newcastle would take this one 2-1. And I think you messaged right back and said, have you converted to the dark side? I'm usually the positive one. I'm usually the one that says no matter what happens, Chelsea will get a result. But it's been tough to predict this club. It's been tough to predict these players, if they're going to show up on the day or if they're going to have a lethargic performance. So I was definitely one who was not going to say, I think we can get a draw, squeeze a win out of this one. I was like, you know what? Newcastle, they're flying. They're in good form. They're going to beat us. And I think you went for a draw, right, if I'm not mistaken?
I did. And it's only because it's not the Newcastle of what we saw last season. They've had injuries. They've had issues this season. And they were sitting 4 points ahead of us. So they were in 10th and we were in 11th. Not that much has changed, even with the result. But what has changed is we've closed the gap and there is a possibility that we could jump ahead. But yeah, look, it was a game that just I felt would end up in a draw with our habit of conceding stupid goals, and then also being able to score. So I was right, I was wrong, which was good, and you were wrong, which was even better.
Better, yeah.
But we'll see the next prediction.
Yeah, let's do the classic review, Rahul. Let's go through and go through the starting 11. There were couple of changes that I'm surprised to see, but obviously with injuries and things going on, I think it had to be done. So why don't you take us through the starting 11?
Yeah, Petrovic and goal, Gusto, De Sassi, Chalobah, Cucurella, Jackie, back from injury. It's been at least two and a half, maybe 3 months since we last saw him. So at least it's good that he's coming back and is able to get some game time. Enzo, Caicedo in midfield, Connor right behind Jackson, Palmer and Sterling on the wings.
Yeah, so obviously Cucurella is the talking point. I think it might be his first game, not even as a sub appearance in like months, where he just comes on and we're like, yep, Cucurella out of the dark. I don't think I even heard him starting for this particular game. But again, I think Ben Chilwell picks up another injury and he's struggling with that, which is, that's a whole separate conversation we need to have one of these days, Rahul. I'm not sure what's happening with that. And center backs, you get one going in, one coming back out, and Trevor Chalobah is coming back into the fold. But I think Levi Colwell picks up a knock, and Thiago Silva seems to have lost favor a little bit in the last few weeks here. Maybe age is finally catching up to him, or maybe Pochettino is trying to revolutionize this Chelsea and go with a younger, fresher look. So Chalobah coming back in, and nice to have him. One that also bleeds blue. I think at least he's been with the club since he's been 7 or 8. Don't know if the ownership will let him stay around much longer, given that he's pure profit. But while he's here, we get some fitness and we get to bring him back into the squad, which has been great. So Raheem Sterling back into the mix, Rahul. What do you make of that as well?
The less I say, the better.
such a polarizing player. And he's one of those that's our highest earners, and week in, week out, he's inconsistent like the Chelsea team. And maybe he's one that's benefited, or not benefited, I should say, from the inconsistencies. He doesn't seem to keep his place. When he does come in, he doesn't seem to perform to the levels that we've seen historically. So other than that, not too much surprise. Rahul, just a quick word on Malagusta. He's been pretty much a brilliant player for us this season, both attacking-wise and defensively. I almost forgot that we have Reece James that is coming back from injury as well. He's posted some Instagram pics. There have been some murmurings online of he's working out to get fitter, but I haven't missed him. What's your thoughts on Malagusto so far for the season?
That's been if there are, we're picking positives of the season, of the transfer window last season, Malagusto has to be top of that list, or if not one of the top five things. And yes, he's had games where he's not been up to it. He's had games where we've expected more and he's been found out. But it's his first year in the league. He is adapting. He is developing. But I want to say for 80-85% of the games, he has the significant output attacking-wise. He's able to defend. He's able to get up and down that right-hand side. And that allows Reece James to actually focus on his recovery, his efforts to get stronger and come back when he's ready, and we can ease him back in, versus saying we need someone on that right side, we're playing a center back, or you know, just making it work. And so I am glad for the move that we made to bring Gusto in. It is going to be extremely interesting for me to see the two of them competing when Reece is fully fit and ready to go, and how Gusto adapts, and maybe Gusto plays on the left. That's an option. But it's definitely something that I've enjoyed watching, and something that I think will only get better over time.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that plays out as well. Having two quality right backs in the same team is something I don't think we've had for a very long time. We've always had one primary right back that's been fantastic, or we've played Aspilicueta at left back and squeezed him back to right back, or we've played Ivanovic, who was a traditional center back, and right back, and we've always found a way to make things work. So this has been good to have, and hopefully Reece is coming back. I've seen some pictures of him looking a lot skinnier. Maybe he's working on the weight he carries because he's trying to keep his fitness on the knees. So it'll be an interesting one. But coming back to the game, Rahul, it was a midweek fixture. Daylight saving times has come in between as well, so not as early as you and I are used to. It was a 3 p.m. kickoff for me, 4 p.m. for you in the East Coast. And we were busy with work, and phone lights up 5 minutes into the game. Nicholas Jackson goal. And I think I texted you within minutes saying, is this real? Is it offside? Is there something going on? And obviously you were at work and saying, it is real, my friend. Nicholas Jackson has scored a goal. And I'm not poking fun at Nicholas Jackson. I'm poking fun at Chelsea because we were so pessimistic. But early goal, always nice to see starting off with the front foot.
Definitely. Always a good way to kick off things. And for a team that has struggled, has had its issues with coming back into games or conceding the first goal and then struggling to get the equalizer, it's always helpful when we score the first goal. And it's always helpful when we score it early, because it calms the nerves a little bit, calms down the younger players. But then it's always about, let's build upon this, let's kill it, let's make sure that we're in a position where we're going into halftime and we're not going to come back, because we've seen tons of times that we go into halftime and we come back and aren't the same team, or something has changed. But to start off that way, and I remember texting you saying, couldn't you have just left it at one Cole Palmer to get that goal? But a neat finish, a good anticipation from him, just knowing that maybe flicking it will put it on target, and so maybe going off, we don't know if it was, but either way, it's good for Jackson to be getting involved with these goals and just being in and around the box and converting them.
And I think that's what's key, is that he's in the right place to make a little bit of a split second decision. I'm not sure how much he planned that, and maybe all day will look you in the eye and said, I definitely planned that. I knew what I was doing. And it might be true, but you look at it and a lot of the commentators and some of the pundits said it could have been going wide. So I, for one, I'm happy he touched it. It's almost like, let's make sure that ball goes in one way or the other to get the goal early on, which is great. But Rahul, Cole Palmer, I mean, we've talked about him a lot this season. He's one that doesn't shy away to take a shot from outside the box. I've seen that a lot this season. Sometimes it goes very well for him. We've seen him score some fantastic goals. And sometimes you just go and look at Cole, come on, pass the ball or hit it with a little more venom. In this case, he does the right thing. He gets it on target, or close enough to target, I should say. And Jackson pounces on it. But have we missed a few of these players? I'm thinking back in the day, you know, you've got the Frank Lampard that would shoot from outside the box, and maybe even Eden Hazard would come up with a moment of magic, and Cesc Fabregas every now and then would come up with a pop from outside the box. Not saying Cole is that type of player, but cutting in from the wing, can he do a little bit more of that? He's obviously our top goal scorer, if I'm not mistaken, with 12 or 13 goals for the season. Can he do a little more of that and just help us a little more at this point in the season?
Look, it's weird for me to be like, he needs to be doing more to help us. But no, it's I think we've often said that we try to walk the ball in.
Yep.
We're not taking shots from outside the box. And I would be interested to see some stats and some numbers there of how many shots are we attempting, because I can't think of the last time we scored from outside the box, and maybe I'm just blanking right now, but it's usually about getting the ball in the box and having someone finish it off or make a late run. So Cole Palmer, and maybe he was told that between the coaching staff and the analysis that was done, is there's always a shot on, and if you can take it, take it. And Cole Palmer is never shy to try things.
Yeah.
He's Cole Palmer. He's ice cold, and will do whatever it takes to get the goal. So yeah, I mean, we've missed it, and I'd like to see more of it, but only when it's on, because I hate when we try to force a shot from outside the box when the defender's right in front of our faces.
Yeah, that's definitely one we want to keep an eye on. And I think the reason I say it, Rahul, is that sometimes you get lucky, you get a goal. Another time it can be a Nicholas Jackson flick. Another time goalkeeper can parry it and it's an easy tap in and there are more opportunities. So I'd like to see more of that. We did control the game a little bit in that half. I saw a couple of blows back and forth. I didn't watch the entire game, but in the highlights, we had some good opportunities. Cole Palmer again from outside the box, making some chances. But Newcastle kind of grew in confidence in that first half. They kind of grew in the opportunities that they had. And before halftime, or the stroke of halftime, Isak comes in with the goods, also from outside the box. And I must say, a beautiful finish from him. But I wonder if we invite that pressure onto us, especially 2 or 3 minutes going into halftime.
It's always when you least want it to happen, and it happens. And look, Isak is a dangerous player. Yeah. We know he has the ability to take shots like that from outside the box, but also be a poacher within the box. And when we were talking about laying Chalobah ahead of Thiago Silva, I think it was because of Isak and his ability to run and run in behind defenders. So you got to give credit to him, but yes, I think we could have done better and avoided that situation where we're now going from a 1-0 to a 1-1, and it's a different message, a different feeling at halftime. But maybe that was the wake-up call we needed for the second half.
Maybe it was. It's one of those situations where you think, should we keep clean sheets for the situation? I think so. I'm looking at some of the highlights of this game, and maybe Chalobah's out of position. And I think Pochettino said it in the end of the game. I wouldn't give too much away as we walk through it, but it was the first time that this combination of four played together. That's Gusto, De Sassi, Chalobah, and Cucurella. So maybe a little bit of an excuse he's giving, saying like they don't know each other, they don't know where each other should be standing. But listen, Rahul, that's what training's for. If you know that these guys are fit and they're going to be in for the week, they should be spending the 3, 4, 5 days building up to this game, learning each other, working together. And I get it, their injuries, I understand they've been out, but this is the highest level of football. And I think these excuses, while they are valid, I think they're creeping in to kind of justify some of the poor defensive performances we've seen lately. I'm not going to sit here and argue too much with Pochettino, but I would like to see some of this last minute running back or out of position cut out. And I think it'll come with time. And I hate to use his excuse, but with the couple of youngsters that are in the squad, you almost wish you had a Thiago Silva in there to say, get back in position, get back in line. But hopefully that's what De Sassi, Chalobah, Gusto are learning with him in the squad, and learning to be vocal and chit-chatting and getting to know each other as they go through it. But we come into that second half, Rahul, and we talked about Cole Palmer doing a little bit more, and he does what he has to do about 55, 56 minutes into the game and gets us a goal. And what are your thoughts on Cole Palmer again to get rescue us, I should say, for this one?
Cole Palmer to the rescue. Again, a shot from outside the box. Yep. He anticipates that he's going to get it through the legs of the defender. And at that point, when a goalie maybe doesn't have the best sight or can't see, and the ball gets through the defender's legs and it's coming towards goal, it's just a little too late for the goalkeeper. Yeah. And that's a surprise element I think you were trying to talk about with shooting from outside the box. But it was a really good finish, because you can see if he, from the goalkeeper's perspective, if he's going to take it, he might try to go far post, but he goes near post, which is, again, surprising. And a really good finish, a good shot on him. And something that bails us out, honestly, again, we go into the second half. It's early enough where we're not now going to be stressed or nervous about it. It's still 1-1. It just releases that little bit of a bit pressure on us and allows us to maybe free ourselves and try to get that third goal. So credit to Cole Palmer, but credit to him for taking that shot again and saying, you know what, I'm just going to whip it and we'll see what happens.
He hit it so sweetly as well, Rahul, when it leaves his foot. There's something exciting about a left-footed player. We don't have too many of those. And I really enjoy, and it gives me the classic vibes of Arjen Robben or Damien Duff cutting in from the right-hand side and smashing with their left foot. Something amazing about having a left-footed player that's coming off the right and just getting us a goal, which is really what we needed. And one goal could have been two goals, Rahul. I think 2 or 3 minutes later, Raheem Sterling is on the break. He's making a lovely run. He's one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and he does have defenders catching up to him, building pressure. And as I'm watching the highlights, I see, who do I see? I see Cole Palmer standing in 100 acres of space, free, screaming for the ball. And Rahul, not once, not twice, not three times this season, Raheem Sterling has been in a situation where he could have squared the ball to a teammate and opts for the shot. We talk a lot about wanting experience in the squad and wanting the senior guys to be there to coach these junior guys. What message does it send when one of your most senior players, one who's been there, won big trophies, gets a little bit selfish in these situations where 60, 61 minutes in, Rahul, it's 3-1, and all the pressure in the world is lifted off of us, and we can start to play that fancy one-touch football that we know we want to get to?
I'm trying to pick my words right, because you know how I feel about Sterling, and you know that I want to be critical of him, but it's not surprising anymore. It's what we've come to see, what we've come to expect from him. And it's sad because, like you said, he is one of those experienced players, the players that some of the other guys may look up to. And for him to consistently be doing that tells you that he may be thinking he's better or the star player or the player that needs to be delivering. It also could be pressure where he has underperformed for the last few games. He didn't perform in the final. He was subbed off. And so it could be a mixture of things. And I want to be sensitive to it because it's easy for you and me and most Chelsea fans to say, just pass it. But in the moment when things are happening, it's quick, it's fast, it's split second decisions. It is difficult, but you keep doing this consistently. So you need to be learning and you need to be making it, doing it so that it doesn't happen again. But will it happen next time? We'll just have to wait and find out.
And I wonder if Pochettino is making a note, Rahul. And we've seen Sterling, I said, just like Chelsea's been inconsistent, he has been in and out of the team. And I wonder if Pochettino is watching and saying, today's your chance, go get the business done. And he feels that pressure and wants to get it done. But in that situation, he's doing a little too much. And I know you say, as Chelsea fans, we want to see those players get the goals. And he has the pressure and we want to say it's easy to do it. I would just as much, and maybe I'm speaking for myself here, I would just as much remember Raheem Sterling's fantastic square ball, his unselfish play, leading to an additional goal that could kill a game or an additional goal that could win us a game in the dying embers, or an additional goal that honestly just gives us the feel-good factor that we've been missing consistently throughout the season. So it's definitely a hard one because I do hear what you're saying, but it's getting to this point where it's so frustrating for Chelsea fans seeing what we're looking for, which is that senior, consistent player being immature and being, frankly, very inconsistent with his decision. So a tough one to swallow for sure. 2-1, it goes in, and we're wondering what's going to happen from here. Maybe your prediction's coming through 2-2, but Rahul, a few minutes later, Misha comes on, and in the 75th minute, I saw him score one of the most beautiful goals he's ever scored for Chelsea Football Club. Am I exaggerating in this situation?
No, because the sample size was pretty small. But no, look, credit where it's due. It was a beautiful goal, a good counterattack where he finds himself right in front of goal. And like we were talking about with Raheem Sterling, he doesn't just want to shoot it. He says, let me take an extra touch, go around the keeper, and then put it back into the back of the net. And you have to give him credit for having the awareness, for being able to pull it off and scoring that third goal, which we desperately needed. But again, Jackson making a brilliant run down the left. And it was just really well executed by everyone involved and then finished off by Misha. And he needs these moments. He really needs these moments because he scored against Newcastle in the cup game about a month or 6 weeks ago. Didn't really kick on from there. Some might argue Pochettino didn't give him the opportunities. And as we're talking about Raheem Sterling and him being selfish and inconsistent, Mudrik can force Pochettino to play him, but he really has to consistently deliver and make a case for himself, which he certainly did in this game. And honestly, even in the last game, not the Brentford, but I want to say the Leeds game. So look, credit to him. Every time he scores, you can feel this relief and this sense of just pressure off his shoulders. But it's back now, and we're expecting something to happen again in the next game.
Listen, I got to live in the near moment. I cannot live in the future with this Chelsea Football Club at this point in time. I've got to take my wins where I can get them. And while Nicholas Jackson's run was fantastic and his measured ball to Conor Gallagher was fantastic, I got to give Mudrik credit because, Rahul, for most of the season, I started to give up on Mudrik a little bit where I said he needs a loan, he needs to go get consistent playing minutes. When he does get the chance, he makes silly decisions, he loses the ball. And we've all said that there is a player in there, right? There's some flashes of brilliance that we get to see from Mudrik. And this flash of brilliance that we saw for this goal is probably what we are expecting more of because it's so beautiful to watch. He very delicately pinches the ball off of Conor Gallagher. And I don't know how he has the composure or the touch to just flick it around the player with almost Eden Hazard-like feet there, get around that player and then go wide and finish it. And to echo what you said, you can see the happiness he gets from scoring a goal. And I know he's not here to score 25 goals a season. He's here to pitch in with some assists. He's here to pitch in with some free kicks. He's here to pitch in with penalties and the odd goal. But I think that price tag might be weighing on his shoulders where every single goal means so much to him because it's proving to himself that he can play football at the highest level. And to echo what not just you and I are saying, a lot of Chelsea fans are saying, can he kick off from here? Can he get those opportunities? And granted, he may not start every game because there is competition and we've already debated it should not be Raheem Sterling he should be competing against. But there is a chance that when he comes on, if he keeps doing this, he can then get those starts and be a little more consistent in the team, which honestly we're all hoping for. So let's hope it goes that way.
Yeah, and there's a moment in that goal where he's gotten by the defender, he's taken a touch, and he then takes his head up and looks at the goalie. And it's so easy for a player that's under pressure, that's underperformed, and the price tag and everything that you've said to take that touch, beat the defender, and just say, I'm just going to shoot. I'm just going to hit this. I don't care what's happening in front of me. I'm just going to shoot it. But he has that composure. And that's where we see the quality come through that we paid a lot of money for and we will continue to pay for if and when we start winning some things. But that must give him so much. I feel confident looking at him. And he executed it and got around the keeper and finished it off. So he must feel really good. Now, my request to Pochettino would be let him start that next game. Let's see what he can do against Leicester. It's going to be a whole different game, a different setup from a team that may try to sit and defend. But you're at least rewarding him for that few minutes that he came on and was able to perform and score that third goal.
I agree with you. With the Leicester coming in to an exciting match, coming in from the second division or the championship, I should say, it's an opportunity for Mudrik to try and break down a team that might want to block us and hold a really, really low line. Maybe he's the key to kind of getting in behind them, finding a bit of space. And if he has those neat touches like he had for the goal, that might be the kind of player need to break down a low block, which honestly, Rahul, we've screamed for all season. So if he can prove it there, if he can show flashes of brilliance, again, I don't think I need him to score a goal every single game. I think that's very, very clear. But these little touches, these little cute flicks that we're looking for, get us another player to get us off our feet and get us excited. I think Stamford Bridge needs that with the times that we're going through into transition that we're going to. So exciting for sure. 3-1, 75 minutes in, game wrapped up. We think we're done. But it wouldn't be the Chelsea of the last couple of seasons until they give us a heart attack in the 89th, 90th minute. I think it's Jacob Murphy who scores, Rahul, and it's honestly a goal out of nothing. I keep hate to say this because we've criticized Cucurella a lot this season, but he comes out of position to, I don't know if it's to win the ball or flick it off of the Newcastle player's leg, and he just gets it all wrong, and it's an easy turn for Jacob Murphy, and he slots it home. Is there anything else we can say about that one?
No, I mean, we could be and we should be critical of Cucurella. And that's another one with the massive price tag off of one good season in the Premier League that we haven't seen anywhere near what we paid for and what we bought. Honestly, this was a moment right at the end which could have been avoided, should have been avoided. We invite this pressure upon ourselves, and then we go into an extra time of 8-9 minutes, and you're saying it's going to be 3-3, isn't it? It's going to be 3-3. And that's where this team needs to mature. This team needs to grow together, and it's only going to come with playing and doing it together. So, yes, I am critical of Cucurella, but ultimately we get the win, and he should learn from this, and the coaching staff should point it out, and not to criticize him or punish him, but to say you need to do better.
Really, it should be the case. And wrapping up thoughts, Rahul, I don't want to take anything away from Jacob Murphy's strike. I know that we made the mistake to get him into the position, but once he's in there, it's a firebolt into the top right-hand corner. And I'm thinking saying Petrovic can save it, but honestly, it was a wonderful strike. And at that point, we really should be doing the defending ahead of the goal and not waiting till the players is into our box. But 3-2, we'll take the win. Wrapping up thoughts, happy with the win. Newcastle, while they're ahead of us, they could be a decent challenge. And I think we kind of rose to the challenge.
Yeah, look, it was a challenge. It was a challenge not because of Newcastle, but because of Chelsea being Chelsea. But we came through. We won the game. Like I said earlier, we're now a point behind them with the game in hand. We could win that, move up to 42 points, which would take us up to ninth, maybe even eighth, depending on how things go with Brighton. And that's a point behind West Ham in seventh and five behind United. So we've been here before. We've made these comparisons and predictions about how close we could get to that top half of the table, top six. But it's at a point where we now have 11 games left. Most of them are with teams in and around us, maybe a couple ahead of us. We just need to do the best we can and stay consistent. And let's build up some form towards the end of the season that we can at least finish off with and then come back next season.
My eyes glazed over as you were talking about we'll be 1 point here, 5 points from United. We could be seventh. We could be fifth. And I was just saying, am I feeling deja vu again? Have Rahul and I had this conversation on this podcast? And the answer is probably in 10 episodes this season, Rahul, you and I have talked about top four, here we come. Oh, nope, top six, here we come. Maybe we'll take seventh. We'll be happy with the Europa Conference League. So listen, I'm optimistic just like you are. I think there's an opportunity to make a late surge, but I'm also realistic with the consistency of this team. Only Pochettino and the boys can do it at this point. And so I wish them well, and I hope that they continue to entertain us and just get the business done. So all Chelsea fans are hoping for Europe.
I mean, Europe would be ideal. And there's another route to get there, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a few seconds. But since we were talking about moving up, and last season we were nowhere this close to the 40-point mark, I wanted to talk about if we go down, down meaning further down the table, not down into the championship. So we are in 11th with 39 points. Behind us are Fulham and Bournemouth, played a game more on 35 points each. And then it's Crystal Palace with 29 points with a game played more than us. So I think we're safe this season, Jackie. We don't have to wait till May where we play Bournemouth away and we're saying, are we going to make it? Are we going to get relegated? I think we're safe. And that in itself is progress this season.
I don't know if it's progress or the other teams this season have been a bit more poor. But listen, I'll take what I can get. It's progress, like you said, and we'll move forward at that point. Rahul, I want to transition and talk about the FA Cup because we are playing Leicester City. But before that, I know you wanted to talk about some, I don't know if it's transfer news or loan news. We've brought back a young boy from Leicester City and you wanted to chat about him. He's not going to be able to play against us against Leicester because he's cup tied. What are your thoughts on Cassidy?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you. I mean, I think we spoke about it at the end of the transfer window back in January, but Cassidy did come back from Leicester. And the question is, why did we recall him? So I'll give you some stats. He made 25 appearances for them, played 1,111 minutes. And since he's come back before the Liverpool game in January, so it's been about, I want to say, 6 weeks now, he's played all of 17 minutes for Chelsea, and he's been cup tied, which means he couldn't play in the FA Cup games we've had, and he couldn't play in the Carabao Cup final.
Which is scary to think about, because coming back in January, we were in the thick of the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup games that were coming up. So the question you asked me is, why did we recall him, Rahul? I don't know, my friend. This club has made some strange, strange decisions. I'm sure it revolves in and around injuries, perhaps, that we had some injuries to Lavia, who was supposed to come back, and he's missing in action. I didn't even remember he was a Chelsea player. I don't consider him a Chelsea player till he plays 10 games for us that I can see he's going to be consistent. And Leslie Ugochukwu as well. I don't even know where he is. I heard he's out injured as well, so I'm not sure what's going on. And for a club of our size, Rahul, for the amount of competitions we're in, we had some good young talent at the beginning of the season with both Santos and with Cassidy in this point. We loan them both out. Santos has a horrible loan. He's not playing any minutes. He might be the one to come back and fill that void, but we reloan him out to another club. And the guy that's actually playing minutes is called back to play no more minutes. I cannot understand what's going on. I don't know the decisions behind it. I can only suspect it has to do with injuries. But I feel like we stunted this young man's growth. And for his sake, I hope next season either they have a game plan for him where he gets to play 15, 20, 25 games, because there are going to be a lot of games, or he goes out on a solid loan that's a little higher caliber than the Championship, and he can really develop himself, because he's showing, again, in bits and pieces, that there is a footballer in there, but we can't keep stunting the growth and honestly spoiling it for some of these players. And Rahul, I have a question for you. Speaking of stunting growth and spoiling or ruining players' careers, did you know that Malang Sarr is still on the books and has not made an appearance for us in well over a year? In fact, in the preseason or right after preseason, when we were following Pochettino, he was asked if Malang Sarr was around, and he did not know who Malang Sarr was. What do you think is going on with Chelsea Football Club, our transfer business, and our staffing?
I was going to pull a Pochettino and be like, who? Who are you talking about? Malang Sarr, man, the name that... It's almost like a trivia at this point, because there's been so much turnover, not just with coaches, but obviously with players and owners. So he came in 2020. He was part of the class of Lampard's second season when he was able to buy players. Free signing, we were honestly excited because he was touted to be one of the top young talents in Europe. A center back that we thought could come in and work with some of the center backs we had. Mm-hmm. And he came in for free, like I said, so he was given a good compensation package, which was £120,000 a week. Oof. And that's where it all kind of slowed down, and Lampard left, Tuchel came in, he played here and there, but not really. And then Todd Boehly came in, Malang Sarr was sent out to loan to Monaco, he came back last summer, and honestly, we thought that was it. He was going to be one of the players that was also going to be moved on. And not for profit, like we've been saying, but honestly, just to get him off the books with the wages. And he had an opportunity to leave towards the end of the transfer window in the summer. And Chelsea agreed to say, we'll give you 50% of what we owe you for the remainder of the 18 months. He went out to France for a medical. As he's having his medical and he's passing the medical and they're ready to complete the deal, Chelsea call him and say, yeah, we're not paying you anything. If you want to leave, you'll leave for free. To which he wasn't too pleased. And then he came back and has been at the club all season. Clearly, Pochettino doesn't know where he is, so I hope he's training and staying fit. But yeah, he's collecting his money. He's collected, yeah. I think when we were doing some calculations, up to 2.4 million in the last 5-6 months. And by the end of the season, he would have collected enough of what they were going to pay him to leave in the summer anyway.
It's a very strange decision. And I think I'm hoping that we learn from these situations. And I'm pointing at the Santoses and the Cassidy's and the youth army of loan players, or the youngsters that we've bought for the future, that honestly, not all of them may make it at Chelsea Football Club, right? I'm thinking of the Moreiras and the Angelos that are out on loan as well. They may not make it, and we need to figure out a better plan on how to move some of these talents on. And in Malang Sarr's case is Maybe he came in with a lot of optimism. Maybe he did not live up to the name. He went out on a couple of loans. And from there, if you're not able to fetch the right price for him, maybe find a way to lower the price and get him off the books. And it sounds like we had found a way, but again, it's one of those situations. You asked me with Cassidy why he came back. I ask you with Malang Sarr why he stayed. A lot of this stuff is going on at the board level, at the directors of football level, and they need to look at themselves. And I can make this episode a lot longer and ask you, where's Christopher Pavel? Is he still on gardening leave and what's going on? But we don't want to get into that today. There's a lot going on at the club that we have to unpack, and hopefully the club is looking at it themselves and can figure out how to straighten out from here. But let's move on. Rahul, let's talk about FA Cup. It's another chance at glory, another chance to move forward further in the cup. You mentioned it's a way to Europe as well if we don't get the right position on the table. But the last time we played Leicester in the FA Cup, Rahul, it was the final in 2021. And I seem to remember it did not go our way at all. We lost 1-0. I think Daniel Amate threw our Chelsea flag across or tried to rip it or what the situation was. It worked out for us in the end. They got relegated and we smiled and said, you can keep throwing the flag and you're not going to get anywhere. But there are scenes, there's history here, recent history. Why don't you take us through what you think the predicted 11 will be?
Yeah, so this is our game before the international break. So it's an opportunity, like we said, to go back into Europe, but honestly, just to get back to Wembley. And it's a stadium that we haven't really enjoyed playing in. But we've enjoyed playing semifinals there and have actually made it to FA Cup finals pretty regularly, regardless of managers and regardless of players and honestly ownership at this point. So it is an opportunity. It is something that even if we make it to the final, and I'm not saying we are going to, but if we make it to a final against one of the teams that's already in Europe and we lose, we still are able to qualify for, I'm not sure if it's a Conference League or Europa League, but either way, we're two games away from a final. It's an opportunity for Pochettino to say, hey, guys, we lost the final a few weeks ago. Let's make another push and let's see what happens. And again, if we lose it, he can say, I made it to two finals. I was secure in the Premier League in March and sort of May. And it's progress. So Leicester at home, I think Petrovic has to play. We saw Sanchez against Leeds and it convinced me that he should not be playing, especially in these crucial games. So Petrovic, Gusto, who's not been called up for France, along with Di Sassi, who also not been called up. So I think those two to play. Chalobah, Thiago Silva. I'll go with Chalobah just to maintain some consistency. Kukurea, if Chilwell isn't back yet, and I think it was a couple of weeks, and Colwell as well. Midfield would be Enzo and Caicedo. Cole Palmer has to play. Connor Gallagher, Mudryk, and Jackson.
Yeah, listen, it's exactly what we summarized in the last game, which is we wanted to see Mudryk. It's going to be, I think, a toss-up between Chalobah and Thiago Silva. I personally, Rahul, would go for Thiago Silva. I think with Leicester maybe playing a little deeper, he doesn't have to have the pace of a Chalobah, and maybe that experience of a Thiago Silva saying they are going to sit deep, don't panic, push yourselves, guys, and do the business is something that we'll need. But other than that, I think the team picks itself at this point. We've talked about injuries. We've talked about everything else. Leicester have been a thorn on our side historically. Notably, in the last few years, we've also signed a player from them that took a protracted summer, and that's Fofana. We've barely seen him play as well. So a lot of history. We've got Ben Chilwell, unfortunately injured as well, that we had another protracted transfer with them. So we're not unfamiliar with Leicester. We've got a lot of back and forth dealings with them. What is the score prediction for this one, my friend? Quarterfinals. And before you answer, Rahul, I was just taking a quick peek at the other quarterfinals. Manchester City versus Newcastle. So another big house is getting knocked out there. Man United versus Liverpool. So another big house is getting knocked out there. And Wolves versus Coventry. And so it could be an opportunity to really make it to this final, depending on who we get to play next. But it's a really, really interesting one. So I'm gonna push you for a score prediction, my friend.
Come on, Coventry. look, I'm looking at Leicester's last few games, and they've been flying in the Championship. They sit top. But a few weeks ago, they had a much healthier lead at the top of the table than they do now. It's down to 3 points, and that's because they've drawn the last game and then they've lost the last few before that, so they are in kind of an inconsistent, indecent form. And that should actually help Chelsea, because ultimately Leicester want to get back into the Premier League. The FA Cup is great. It gives them an opportunity to take away from the league. But I think they might actually focus on the league and maybe rotate a little bit here, which will give us an opportunity. So I will go for a 2-1 Chelsea win.
So still no clean sheet for Chelsea.
No clean sheet until a new set-piece coach comes in at the end of the season.
Listen, we'll wrap up the episode talking about the set-piece coach. Thank you for bringing that up. But Rahul, I think that we can get the business done. I think Pochettino is going to get the guys fired up. And listen, I got to say this as well. If you and I have to wake up early on a Sunday to watch Chelsea Football Club not perform, we're going to come with a very upset episode in the next one. So we need to get the result.
Wouldn't be the first time, though.
Listen, I'm trying to be positive again. Look what a couple of wins does to me. I get back into my positive move. I'm going for a 2-0 win, Rahul. I think we can get the business done, keep a clean sheet. Hopefully Cucurella just does the defending and doesn't do the stepping up that we don't like to see. So 2-0 and we'll get the business done. And listen, we move on to the semifinals and a chance to get forward and potentially look at the final as well. So
and play Coventry.
And Coventry, if that's the case. Before we wrap up the segment, Rahul, you mentioned a set-piece coach. I'm glad you brought that up. I think before we start recording, you said that this position has been open for almost a year. I have some thoughts on that, but I'd like to hear a little more information about who we hired, what's going on, where did he come from, how is this all looking?
Yeah, so we've agreed with Brentford to bring in Bernardo Cueva as our new set-piece coach, 36-year-old Mexican. Joined Brentford in September 2020 as a tactical statistician and kind of transitioned into working on set pieces. And I can't point to a Brentford game that I've watched where they've been effective from set pieces, but I can point to a tons of games where I've watched Chelsea where they've been pretty ineffective. So I welcome this move. It's like you said, it's a position that's been open since Anthony Barry left for Bayern Munich in April of last year. Why we've waited this long, who's been doing the role, clearly it's not been working because we have conceded quite a bit from set pieces. So it's a move that should benefit us, especially going into preseason. We'll only wait and find out if it's an appointment that we'll celebrate or it's another one of those B teams that we've recruited from that doesn't really move the needle.
Listen, you took the words right out of my mouth. I always wonder, Rahul, when we recruit, and I mean this with the wholehearted respect that I can give, we seem to be recruiting from clubs that historically have been below us, and I'm referring to Brighton, and yes, Brighton are above us, and Brighton have been fantastic in recent history, but historically, you wonder why we went there, and now we're recruiting from Brentford, and I wonder again, is that the best? And maybe, listen, I criticized the directors before, maybe they're looking around and saying, this guy's one of the best in the business. I don't know that much about the behind the scenes, and I'll be the first to raise my hand. But I always wonder, Rahul, on a big squad and a big team of coaches, Pochettino has nobody in-house that can point to a player and say, when the ball's coming in, you stand here, you stand here, you stand here, head it out. When the ball's going towards the other end, you defenders come forward, put a header in. Like, it's a very confusing situation. I know football has modernized and they're specialists at everything. But at the core, at the root of the game, at the child's heart of the game, you've got to believe that someone in there is able to coach these guys on how to do basic set pieces and not only attack them, but defend them. So an appointment that I think we need, but it's surprising that we have wasted this much time and we've not been able to get the results during this time. So hopefully it's what we see for the summer and it fixes what we're going through. But Rahul, why don't you take us home from here?
Before I do, I was going to say maybe it's a start of us recruiting from Brentford. And there is a position that we need to fill. So that's where I'll leave it.
Are you putting any bets on it?
This is our rumor start. So yep. let it start here on the Premier Chels. But that wraps it up, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Please continue to subscribe, like, and follow us. It's at the Premier Chels on all podcast providers and at the Premier Chels pod on Instagram and Twitter. And we will be back. We promise we will be back sooner than we have been in recent times. But until then, stay safe and up the Chels.